Circling the lake, Norman Bowker remembered how his friend Kiowa had disappeared under the waste and water. "I didn't flip out," he would have said. "I was cool. If things had gone right, if it hadn't been for that smell, I could have won the Silver Star." A good war story, he thought. But it wasn't a war for war stories, nor for talk of valor, and nobody in town wanted to know about the terrible stink. They wanted good intentions and good deeds. But the town wasn't to blame, really. It was a nice little town, very prosperous, with neat houses and all the sanitary conveniences. Norman Bowker lit a cigarette and cranked open his window. 7:35, he decided. The lake had divided into two halves. One half still glistened, the other was caught in shadow. Along the causeway, the two little boys marched on. The man in the stalled motorboat yanked frantically on the cord to his engine, and the two mud hens sought supper at the bottom of the lake, tails bobbing. He passed Sunset Park once again, and more houses, and the junior college, and the tennis courts, and the picnickers, who now sat waiting for the evening fireworks. The high school band was gone. The woman in the pedal pushers patiently toyed with her line. Although it wasn't yet dusk, the A&W was already awash in neon lights. He maneuvered his father's Chevy into one of the parking slots, let the engine idle, and sat back. The place was doing a good holiday business. Mostly kids, it seemed, and a few farmers in for the day. He didn't recognize any of the faces. A slim, hipless young car hop passed by, but when he hit the horn, she didn't seem to notice. Her eyes slid sideways. She hooked a tray to the window of a Firebird, laughing lightly, leaning forward to chat with the three boys inside. He felt invisible in the soft twilight. Straight ahead, over the takeout counter, swarms of mosquitoes electrocuted themselves against an aluminum pest-rid machine. It was a calm, quiet summer evening. He honked again, this time leaning on the horn. The young car hop turned slowly as if puzzled, then said something to the boys in the Firebird and moved reluctantly toward him. Pinned to her shirt was a badge that said, "Eat Mama Burgers." When she reached his window, she stood straight up, so all he could see was the badge. "A Mama Burger," he said, "maybe some fries, too." The girl sighed, leaned down, and shook her head. Her eyes were as fluffy and airy light as cotton candy. "You blind?" she said. She put out her hand and tapped an intercom attached to a steel post. "Punch the button and place your order. All I do is carry the dumb trays." She stared at him for a moment. Briefly, he thought, a question lingered in her fuzzy eyes. But then she turned and punched the button for him and returned to her friends in the Firebird. The intercom squeaked and said, "Order." "Mama Burger and fries," Norman Bowker said. "Affirmative. Copy clear. No Rudy Tooty?" "Rudy Tooty?" "No, man. Root beer." "Small one." "Roger, Dodger. Repeat. One mama, one fries, one small beer. Fire for effect. Stand by." The intercom squeaked and went dead. "Out," said Norman Bowker. When the girl brought his tray, he ate quickly without looking up. The tired radio announcer in Des Moines gave the time, almost 8:30. Dark was pressing in tight now, and he wished there were somewhere to go. In the morning, he'd check out some job possibilities, shoot a few buckets down at the Y, maybe wash the Chevy. He finished his root beer and pushed the intercom button. "Order," said the tinny voice. "All done." "That's it?" "I guess so." "Hey, loosen up," the voice said. "What you really need, friend?" Norman Bowker smiled. "Well," he said, "how'd you like to hear about..." He stopped and shook his head. "Hear what, man?" "Nothing." "Well, hey," the intercom said. "I'm sure as fuck not going anywhere. Screwed to a post, for God's sake. Go ahead, try me."
"Nothing."
"You sure?"
"Positive."
"All done." The intercom made a light sound of disappointment. "Your choice, I guess, over and out."
"Out," said Norman Bowker.